You know, we look at things in sometimes of a distorted way. What's really important? What's really, really important to you? You know, tonight when we listen to this guy, a guy came to him one time and he says, "What's your goals in life? Have you ever written them down?" And he goes, "No." He says, "I've got them here in my head. I kind of know what I want to do, what I want to be, where I want to be in a certain period of frame time." And the other guy says, "Well, I've wrote mine down." And one of the things I think it was, he wanted this some type of Rolex watch, you know, by the time he was so old. And he says, "You know, I'll probably gain that by the end of this year, but I've wrote it down. That's one of the things that I want to accomplish." If I remember right, I may have the story a little bit backwards. He wrote it down and he said, "It's going to cost me this much time away from my family." And then he wrote down something and he said he had another goal that he wanted, and he wanted to be a member of this country club. And he wrote down what it was going to cost him. And it was going to cost him his vacation this year with his family. But he'd be able to have it. We think we get this mindset and this notion within our mind about what my worth is. And I tell you what, we do it. We do it around here. I mean, if the truth be known, we probably really don't have that many rich people here. But you know how we do in Wright County. One of the first things we want to know, how much land do they have? You know? Or how many cows do they got? How many cows do they milk? How many beef cows? How many calves do they sell a year? That's what we do. And we automatically ascribe to people a certain worth, don't we? Somebody comes in the church door and we look at them and we know, wow, they sell so many cows. They'd be good for our church. This person, everybody in the county knows this person. If they was coming to our church, you know, it would mean something. Oh, how distorted of a view that we have of ourselves. Let me make a side note here. I've got to bring this out. Whether it's not a fan or whether it's God's at war, I do not have a hidden agenda here. I'm not trying to make you better. I'm not trying to make you more well-educated. I'm not trying to even make you a better student of the Bible. I want to point you to God. I want to make sure that if nothing else in your life is fixed or right, you're right with God and your relationship with God is right with God. I don't have a hidden agenda about this. And the reason that I brought this up, I've really got a really big praise item, and I know this is chasing rabbits, and I'll be done in just a second. But last night, had a phone call, and this guy left a message. And you got to know this guy. He started it out by saying, "This is the sheriff of Texas County, and I'm coming to get your guns." And it was kind of funny, and it went on, and Teresa said, "You got to hear this guy." And she rewound it and played it again. And I says, "That's Tom Ryan. That's the guy that I used to work with. That used to be my boss. He's retired now, and he's been out for a little over a year now. And he says, "Boy, I'm so glad you called." He says, "I'm going to church in the morning." Here's a guy that I've been praying for, people, for years. And I haven't had a hidden agenda with him. I was up front with him. And he told me this, and that just absolutely blessed my heart so much. Folks, if we can get rid of our idols, if we can get help people to realize and to see their idols, that they're taken away from the true and the one and meaningful God, we can make a greater impact on this life than could ever be imagined. Now that I'm done chasing rabbits, forgive me for that, but that's just something that, boy, just filled my heart with excitement and joy to think, okay, God's still at work here. This battle that we see, the social battle and all that, it's not lost yet. God's still in control. He's still changing people's lives. Listen to this. This is a verse, and you know how Proverbs are, but Proverbs is so wise and so deep. And I thought, boy, this is the best way to start off the message on money. And while I read this in Proverbs, you can turn to Luke chapter 8 if you want to. That's what I'm going to be reading from. But listen to this. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 8 and 9, and this is the King James Version. It says this: "Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain." God does not intend for us necessarily to be super rich. And He surely doesn't intend for us to be so poor and destitute that we've got to worry about where my next meal is coming from. God is so incredibly wise and good, how that He can balance things in such a way that we know just exactly where He's at. Listen to this, is what Jesus said in Luke chapter 18, and starting with verse 18. It says, "And a certain ruler asked Him, saying, 'Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother.' And he said, 'All these things have I kept from my youth up.'" Let me stop right there. What a guy full of hogwash. "I've kept all these from the days of my youth." Hooey! We all know that we're not that good at it. We're rude, we're hateful, we're self-centered, we're selfish, and we are inherently sinners. So anyway, he thought he was really scoring points with the Lord here. And now when Jesus had heard these things, he said unto him, "Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. You know, folks, and if you have been following along with this God's at war, and you've read chapter 9, you've read this statement. Now, when we worship the God of money, a person's worth is determined not by the symbol of the cross, but by the symbol of the dollar sign. You know, folks, when it comes to money, I know that we have bills to pay. And I know that it absorbs part of our time. A lot of us, there's a 40-hour job waiting for us tomorrow morning. There's some of us that'll take a second job to get a little bit ahead to be able to achieve one of these goals that we've set out there. We would like a new pickup. We would like a new tractor. We would like to set aside and plant some winter wheat or a little extra clover because some died out last year. And you know, women, I guess I shouldn't leave you out of the mix. You know, you'd like new furniture. You'd like new flooring. There's a picture that you've seen at Mardell's the other day that you'd really like to have. You'd like to have a new pair of shoes. And I got to have this haircut every week that only a certain person that knows how to cut my hair can do. And we set all these goals, and then we're leaving out the most important goal of all, and that's God. The Bible said that this man was young, he was rich, and he was a ruler. In our minds and in our eyes, we would think that that person had arrived. He was driven. How many of us at the age of 28 is president of a bank? How many of us at the age of 27 is a multimillionaire? You know, there's actually been people that's been able to do that. Look at that guy that made Facebook. He was a multimillionaire in his 20s. Driven, ambitious. Now there's a person that knows what he wants and he goes and gets it. You know, I think the thoughts on our minds and on our hearts so much of the time comes from having an empty view of life. What are we going to have? What are we going to have? You know, I realize me and Teresa, we could have done a lot better for ourselves if we hadn't spent so much time at the ballpark. You know, there were Saturdays and weeknights that we was at the ballpark, and we was there a lot. And I told a guy one time, I said, when I get old and I look back on my life, I think I can live with the thought that I spent too much time with my family. But do we say that about God too? Our ambitions can sometimes get the best of us. We was sitting eating yesterday, me and Teresa and Jordan, and we was in there at Chili's and they had a TV up there, and they had a competition of these CrossFit people. And I don't know whether you've heard this thing called CrossFit, but it's a form of training. It's a form of getting in shape, and these CrossFit people, they're just nearly fanatical. If you've ever seen the commercial on TV, they got them infomercials. It says P90X, and you watch them people work out, and boy, they're just getting it and sweating and everything. That's kind of like what CrossFit is. But I've noticed those men. Buddy, now they was ripped. They didn't have an ounce of fat on them. You know, they had worked so hard that you could see the blood veins up and down their arms, you know. They just wasn't carrying any body fat, and they was running back and forth. And they was lifting the one weight that they shooting for was 335 pounds, clean and jerk or clean and lift up to here. And this other guy, the other bunch, they was pushing a blocking dummy 50 yards and then climbing up atop of the rope, and they had to do that so many times. But you know, in order to get to that point to where you could be on TV and you'd be competing at this level, do you know how many hours a day that you've got to work to keep your body at that level? A lot, isn't it? A lot. And yet, our ambition tells us one thing. And what does God want from us? Does God want the same level of ambition toward Him as what we would trying to get ahead in life? Setting our sights and our goals so high that you've heard the saying, the person with the most toys when he dies wins. We can accumulate things so easily and so quick. So, getting back to the rich young ruler here was so ambitious. Let's see, what was it that he said? Good Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He was so ambitious. It was so easily for him to reach his goals, because I know how to be driven. I know how to grab the golden ring. I'm going to tell you a little secret about money. You want to know when you've got a problem with it? You want to know when you've went just a little bit too far? Listen to yourself. Now that's mine. That's mine. That land is mine. Those vehicles, them are mine. This job that I had, this is mine. I'm identifying myself by my belongings. Those are mine. And God looks at us and he shakes his head and he says, no, they're not. I've blessed you. I've allowed you to have these things. Yeah, you've got a lot of personal drive, and yeah, you've maybe have a harder worth ethic than some of the other people in here. But you want to know something? God's the one that's given you that ability. It's a whole lot easier. It's a whole lot easier for someone to get up, have a morning, and put in a good 14-hour day that doesn't have arthritis. And you want to know something? Sometimes, and this here is going to be on the movie tonight too, there's this thing called our highest earning years. Between 40 years old and 60, that's our best years that we're going to earn the most. Would you give them up for the Lord? Would you be willing to give them up for the Lord? It doesn't matter whether you're young and you're trying to, I've got to get this test done. And as soon as I get through school and as soon as I get a job, I'll have time to be able to go to church. You may not. There may be a car wreck that cuts your life short. Don't wait. And don't say to yourself, when I get older, I'll have more time. When I get retired, I'll do what the Lord wants me to do. And some of the people that's here that's older than I am, Daryl, Mike, I honor you guys because I want to finish strong like you. I'm not trying put a feather in their hat, but I see that and I don't want money to be so important to me that I get distracted from the goal where God wants me to be and where God wants all of us to be. You know, there was another man that came to Jesus and there that Jesus has talked about in Luke chapter 12 and verse 19. And he said this to himself, I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. God isn't against pleasure. God isn't against you having money. God, money is amoral. It's neither good nor bad. It's what happens to us when we become consumed or when we have our identity wrapped up in what we've accomplished and what we've gained and how much that we've got in the bank, more so than our identity being. Now there's a person, he loves the Lord. They like going to church. You see him in church all the time. But even being in church all the time doesn't make us who God wants us to be. God wants us to be close to him. He wants our heart. He wants our identity to be in him. Tonight, we're going to find out about this guy. I hope you come back tonight because I'm not going to be able to give you everything that you really need to hear about this. But this guy, when he got to the point to where God had him, one of the things, the questions that he had to ask himself, people don't respect men that goes into the ministry. And you want to know something? There's a lot of times, men, I'll just talk to you for just a second. There's a lot of times other men don't respect men that spends a lot of their time doing church things. But you want to know something? When I finally realized that I didn't need the respect of the world as much as I needed the respect of God. It didn't matter that when I went out to the golf course, I know what the talk is about me. I'm too loud. Golf's a quiet game. And you need to respect the people that is playing out on the course. And I realize that. And I try to do better. But if I get a birdie out there, I might get a little excited. And those people that's six or seven holes over there on the other side, they're likely going to be hearing me even while they're teeing off. And I may be a little disrespected because of that. But you want to know something? It's not that respect that I'm looking for. I'm looking for God's respect. I need to shave off some of my rough edges, don't get me wrong. And I understand that. But what we need to be more focused on is not that people sees all these neat toys that we have, but that people see Jesus Christ in the things that I do. We've got a love. We've got a degree of forgiveness that other people don't have. And they're confused and they're curious enough that the Holy Spirit begins to work in their life. This young, rich young ruler, he says, all those things I've kept up until even my youth. He was wanting a supplement. I thought about this, and then I thought it'd probably blow up my face. I thought about bringing a jar of vitamin C, pouring them out my hand and just pitching them out through the crowd. You want to know something? No more sun than we've had lately. I think we could all stand a little bit of a supplement of that good vitamin C. And I guess the sun gives us vitamin D. Maybe I should have brought vitamin D and pitched them out there to make a point. But this rich young ruler, you know what he wanted? He just wanted a supplement. He wanted a supplement to his income. I'm rich, I'm young, I'm a ruler, I'm successful, and not only that, I belong to the Hartville Church. I've got God, and I've got the best of both worlds. I don't want God to be the ruler. I don't want God to be the Lord of my life. I don't want Him to be the master of my life. I just want Him as a supplement to what I've already got. And God is such a jealous God. He just shakes His head at us and He says, no, that isn't the way that it works. I've either got all of you or I don't have any of you at all. And God is saying that to us, not only about our money and our possessions. And he says this. Look it up for yourself. Matthew 6, chapter 6, verse 24. No man can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. And the King James says, you cannot serve God and mammon. He says, you're not going to use me as a supplement. You're not going to use me as a tool to gain more money or more wealth because of all the good contacts here at church. It don't work that way. Are you taking a supplement? Is Jesus not enough? Will you walk away sorrowful, or will you accept Jesus on His terms? On His terms. You know, we don't have to be rich to be greedy. And I can give you a good example. Go down here to Casey's and just look who all buys the lottery. Who are those people putting their trust in to be their provider? The lottery? The pick five? The Powerball? If I could only win that, I'd be okay. Money is an issue with all of us. I'm going to close with this one thing. In chapter 9, I didn't write it down, and I just thought of it now. In chapter 9 of our book, God's at War, there'll be a little box, a grayed out box, and it'll talk about the key to happiness and a survey that they've done on happiness. And the people that are richest aren't the happiest. One thing that they do have going for them, rich people, is they probably have the highest suicide rate of anybody in the world. And it said one thing that they found out about the people are the happiest. That people are the happiest are the people that forgives the easiest. On Jesus' terms, we can walk away sorrowful, or we can walk away the happiest person that it's ever lived because we've experienced His forgiveness. Would you stand with me this morning?